Like many churches, we had a Christmas pageant my last Christmas at Trinity Church, a tiny parish right on the coast of Maine. Written by one of the parishioners, the pageant had very few spoken lines, something we all thought would lessen the performance anxiety of the children who had roles in that play. And so the narrator, an earnest 12-year-old girl, did most of the talking as angels, shepherds, animals, and the Holy Family moved through their paces, uttering the occasional line for dramatic emphasis. Little Chaz, his name was Charles, but he was called Chaz, it was appropriate. Little Chaz played the innkeeper, the one whose job it was to tell Joseph and the teenaged pregnant Mary that despite their need to find a place for the night, there was no room in the inn. Chaz was the shortest and most delicate young boy in the parish, not much taller than a fire hydrant. He sported a mass of curly blonde hair and was allergic to everything, including the Christmas greens, sadly. That night, dosed with his allergy medicine and resplendent in a green velvet vest that his mother had made him for the occasion, he was ready for his part, ready to deliver the one very important line he had been given to say. At the appointed time, he was to walk across the front of the church, holding a small, bright, lit lantern up for all to see and to cry out, "There is no room at the inn." But as one might expect, despite the best efforts of our playwright, Chaz, the angels, the shepherds, the animals, Joseph, and the Virgin Mary herself were all gripped by performance anxiety. And so when Chaz's big moment came, looking dapper, so dapper in his vest, he walked across the front of the church completely speechless while carrying a dark, unlit lantern lifted high in his small and shaky hand. Most of the people there that night, of course, were not even aware of the line that he had dropped because the narrator covered much, but I was. And though it was, of course, all just about a little boy's performance anxiety, I went another way with it. I thought, how perfect that this little one, in his stunned silence, lifting high his unlit lantern, is somehow expressing how shocking and appalling it was that the beleaguered Joseph and Mary could find no hospitable place in which to give birth to the Holy One of God. Biblical scholars are quick to point out that in the text, in Luke's account of Jesus' birth, it's a little more ambiguous than the typical Christmas pageant portrays it to be. The word we usually translate in Greek simply means a room for guests. And so it's quite conceivable that what's being said about Mary and Joseph is only that they were not able to get the guest room in someone's house, presumably because so many people were in the town on account of the census. What this might have meant then was that they had to bed down for the night in the area containing what the story calls a manger, a place where animals feed, typically in an ancient house, in an area under the house. They were kept close to the family because they were valuable. The animals were valuable to the family. This then was the spot, according to Luke's story, where Jesus was born. For me, regardless of the specific place the couple gained or did not gain admittance to for the night, Luke's point seems to be that Jesus was born into a family that, like most everyone else, was subject to imperial mandates, and that the birth occurred in a place of great humility where the animals were kept, a place one would never expect a new king to be born. And so Christmas is all about disrupted expectations. The disruption of our expectations that during our time on the road, which is at all times, that we will encounter hospitable inns, or at least guest rooms with our names on them along the way. Christmas is all about disrupted expectations, the disruption of our expectation that during our performances, which are at every moment, we will be able to remember our lines and carry lit lanterns to find our way in the dark. Christmas is all about disrupted expectations, the disruption of our expectations that life itself, with all of its relationships and its activity, will somehow flow along predictably, smoothly, and easily. And so, God help us, at Christmas we get to be in touch with our high expectations of ourselves, of our families and our friends, of our churches, of life itself. And right along with this, we get to practice finding ourselves down with the animals instead of in the guest room or the hospitable inn with the latest amenities. We get to practice what it feels like to forget our lines and to let our lamp go dark rather than moving across the stage of our lives in well-lit beauty and grace. Poet William Stafford, whom I just can't stop talking about, some of you may have noticed this, taught numerous writing courses and talked to many students about the process of creating works of art in writing. One of the questions he was often asked was what he did when he encountered writer's block. You know, the inability to come up with anything in the face of our or others' lofty expectations of the writings we should be able to produce. Stafford's response to his students' questions was simple. "I never have writer's block," he said. "I just lower my standards." He was so attached to this idea, in fact, that he came to believe that the rough treasures that would later become the center of his most provocative poems were found only in the writing he did, in which he began by lowering his standards, that is, in which he had accepted the material that flowed from him that did not meet his own or others' loftier expectations. And so tonight, strangely, I want to tell you to lower your standards. Lower your expectations that the hospitable inn or the guest room is where you need to be for God to be born in you or through you. Lower your standards. Lower your expectations that your lines will always roll off your lips or your lantern will always be lit. Lower your standards. Lower your expectations that the Prince of Peace, the lover of souls, will be found in either the well-lit room or the perfectly orchestrated and acted play. Lower your standards. Lower your expectations that liberation, peace, or healing will be found in nicer places rather than in the raggedy lives you and I already live, or through our more perfect actions than the raggedy efforts we make in order to do a good thing. Lower your standards. Live in and from the mangers that God has made available to you, for these and no other are the kinds of places where God chooses to be born. So in a sense, I believe that Joseph and Mary had to go to the manger, the place of the manger, to birth our Jesus into the world. I believe the Prince of Peace and Mighty Counselor had to open his eyes for the first time in a place that some would say was beneath him. And I believe we have to be willing to let our expectations go in order to find our lives in those lesser places where Christ will be born in us and through us. Marion Wright Edelman tells the story of yet another pageant many years ago, and I'll end with this one. It took place in a grand church, New York City's Riverside Church. In this pageant, the children who were the actors who spoke all the lines of Luke's gospel as well as others, they were given those lines. They were the ones, not the narrator, who moved the story along. A boy named Tim, born with Down syndrome, played the innkeeper, who of course had one line and one line only. "There's no room in the inn," he was supposed to say to Mary and Joseph when they came to his door looking for a place to stay. So a similar situation. Tim, of course, wanted very much to do well, and so had practiced his line over and over with his parents and the pageant director until he had it, until he could nail it. But as the pageant got underway, Tim's parents and the pageant director began to get a little nervous. As the big moment approached, Tim stood all by himself there at the front of the church, clothed in his bathrobe costume, all the while the girl and boy playing Mary and Joseph as they made their way slowly down the center aisle towards him. Once there, the boy playing Joseph went through the motions of knocking on the door. Then as innkeeper Tim went through the motion of opening the door, the boy playing Joseph inquired as to whether the inn might have a room available for them for the night. Silence. Tim's parents, the pageant director, and the whole audience leaned forward, willing him to remember his line. Silence. But then all at once, Tim boomed out, "There is no room at the inn." A collective sigh went up from everyone. But then, as Mary and Joseph turned around to make their way back down the aisle in search of another place to stay, Tim suddenly yelled out, "Wait!" "Wait," he cried. Mary and Joseph stopped and turned around, startled and surprised. "You can stay at my house," Tim said to them. On Christmas, this Christmas, may you experience the coming of God into your house, into your life, and into this world, a God who chooses to inhabit, to embrace, and to make holy all disrupted expectations and all that is not high and not uplifted. For Christ is God incarnate, come in the flesh, the one who joins heaven to this earth, the one who joins heaven to this earth.